Coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for an episode from Lake Arrowhead, California. We'll count our pennies on a show about money, with appearances from comedian Jay Montipar and singer-songwriter Jaden LaRue.
Julie, hold on. I've got a proposition for you.
Okay, shoot.
I think that we should go on the emotional barter system.
What's that?
That's where we trade feelings for feelings.
All right, give me an example.
Here. I love you. Now scratch my back.
That sounds one-sided.
No. I give you love in return, you give me pleasure. It's fair.
Right, so what do I get out of it?
Get love.
Isn't it supposed to be you scratch my back, I scratch yours?
Yeah, but, well, I'm trying to unload my love stock. It's been tanking since the election.
There's an emotional stock exchange?
Of course. It's the engine of my system.
How's it performing?
Like a flaming roller coaster.
So, like the regular one.
Exactly.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Thank you, folks. And as always, on the other microphone, she's got me on a strict bedazzle accessory budget, Julie Van Dusen. Money, moolah, bread, dough, sawbucks, greenbacks, simoleons, finskies, the root of all evil. And a few fun weekends. It can't buy you love, but it can rent it. It burns a hole in your pocket and you lose it, right? And then it follows you around reminding you. They call it debt, credit, interest, the good kind of interest or the bad kind of interest. One coming, one going, and then there's inflation. It blows up and your dollar shrinks. Bigger, it blows up. And then there's bubbles, right? There's bubbles that pop. The tech bubble in the 90s. And suddenly your billion-dollar idea, you know, skisforoldpeople.com was worthless. Housing bubble, pop, and then you're upside down like Dorothy in a tornado. With any luck, when it crashes, the feet sticking out under the house are a real estate agent. Bear markets. Fast asleep in their cave hibernating while they're repossessing your car. Bull markets, which as it turns out are a sham. They're just an illusion, so they can keep their name. Bull markets. It's paper, it's plastic, it's bits in the cloud. Well, you can count it, but don't count on it, because it comes as fast as it goes.
What's it worth, all the trouble and toil on earth? Wail and curse as the bubbles swell up till they burst. Accounted for the gravity of everything in this whole universe. What is it worth?
It started back in the day with barters, maybe cavemen. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
It wasn't even a metaphor yet. It was just people trading back scratches.
And hairy back scratches are like gold. I should know, I'm half Italian. It's the left half, if you're wondering. You scratch your back, and now you owe me one, right? They started trading after that. My eggs for your sheepskin. And then they started using gold and silver as the standard. And it abstracted a level, kind of separated. Now you were trading a bit of valuable metal at a rate, right? The chunks of metal were like a middleman. But even then, they still had value as metal. They started worrying about that gold getting pinched, you know, just hiding under the straw mattress there. So, well, they went to the gold merchant. And they said, will you keep this in your vault? So he said, all right. And he gave them a little slip of paper, right? You have this much gold in my vault. Here, it's written on this slip of paper. And then, well, sure enough, folks out on the street, they started trading those little slips of paper. It abstracted again. Cash money, right? Money with faces on the front.
Do you think when Benjamin Franklin wanted to make it rain, he just fell on a dancer?
I'm not sure. Where was I? It was paper money, right? Paper money. So the goldsmiths with the vaults, they had all this gold sitting there, right? You know, because people were out in the streets just swapping the notes around that represented the gold. So the goldsmiths, the bankers, they got the bright idea to use the reserves to make more money.
And then what happens if they get a run on the bank? Well, everybody's shouting, give us our money, and well, there's no gold there.
It's out making more money. So eventually they had to make up some rules about how much imaginary money the vault can hold in the first place, right? You know, what's the ratio imaginary money to real money? And then they kept bumping up that ratio further and further and further, further apart. And well, these days, and this is true, the bank only has to hold 11%. So that means that 89% of your money isn't really there. So you start to wonder if maybe it wasn't better off, you know, kept under the straw mattress. Maybe just do away with it altogether and go back to scratching each other's backs.
Oh, what's it worth, all the trouble and toil on earth? Well, and curse, when the bubbles swell up and they burst, accounting for the gravity of everything in this whole universe, what is it worth?
No, it wasn't finished abstracting yet. Pretty soon you could buy things without anything changing hands. You know, the paper disappeared. It turned into bits in the cloud, right? So here we are all, chasing a figment of our imagination to the grave. And you know what they say, you can't take it with you. I say you can bury it with your corpse. So now it's all numbers in the clouds, right? But it's mostly, you know, gathered up in just a few clouds. There's just a handful of bigwigs, and they have all that phony baloney money, you know. The fake stuff, the imaginary numbers, the mismatched ratio there, it kind of made it easier for the bankers to scheme it all away from you. The 1%, right? They say, don't worry, it's going to trickle down, you know, from above, it'll trickle down. I've got news for you now. If you're one of us peasants and you look up and you see some smiling billionaires, that warm trickle you feel, it isn't money. So we're going to start investing this week, and we're going to see if we can't shake a little money out of the tree there. Jay Montipar is here. And a great singer-songwriter is with us, Jaden LaRue. Stick around. You already paid to get in.
What's it worth? All the trouble and toil on earth, wail and curse, as the bubbles swell up till they burst, accounting for the gravity of everything in this whole universe, what is it worth?
As always, we're likely to offend someone listening out there this week. If you do take issue with something on the program, you can tweet me directly at @JPHouston. But be warned, you just might get a response on the air. But we're excited to have our musical guest here with us on the program for the first time from Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaden LaRue.
Ooh. till dark. I get lost in the ways I could show my love, never given up. Some try to lead me astray, but I know my place within our strange love. Words, once again, they fail me now. But with you, my love, don't need. With you, my love, don't need. With you, my love, don't need to come from my mouth.
Information about American Parlor Songbook is available on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
From Kickapoo, Kansas, to Intercourse, Pennsylvania, the wheels of capitalism are turning beneath our trusted financial institutions, where everyday Americans line up to get their piece of the apple pie. The factory worker, the shopkeeper, the bus driver, and yes, even little Billy with his paper route money.
I'm gonna buy a new goldfish.
Not so fast, Billy.
Why not?
Well, there's much responsibility that comes with banking. You've got a lot to learn first.
Nah, forget it. I'm gonna just put it under my dead goldfish bowl.
Does your goldfish give you interest?
He used to seem pretty interested. Now he just kind of floats around.
No, stupid interest. It's like free money.
Oh, sure. That's what my cousin said when he gave me a quarter to stick my tongue in the vacuum. I'm not falling for that again.
Here, Billy, I'll show you.
Hey, give me my quarter back.
Follow me. Look, Billy, your quarter. It's moving through the system.
Wow, what's it doing?
It's accruing interest.
Free money?
The banker there, he's giving your quarter to the cook.
Hey, give it back!
Oh, no, it's okay, Billy. It's just a loan.
Well, why are they giving him my money?
He's going to take your shiny quarter there and buy a new car.
Must be some car.
Don't get smart, Billy.
I want my free money, mister.
Patience, the cook there. Now, he has to pay it back with interest.
Well, what happens if he don't pay? Well,
they send a collector.
You mean like that big guy what broke Uncle Charlie's arm when he couldn't pay the vig?
No, Billy, that's a loan shark.
What's the difference?
Nothing. Now watch, here he comes to pay it back.
Come on, big bucks!
Oh, Billy, he's giving them an extra 8%.
That's like another half a goldfish!
Not so fast. Your share's only 1%.
Aw, those crooks!
It's all perfectly legal.
Well, at least I get my 1%.
Sure you do, after penalties, surcharges, convenience fee,
hey!
And... Uh-oh, Billy. Looks like you're overdrawn.
Aw, nuts!
You'll need more than nuts to dig out of that debt, Billy. Follow me.
Where are we going?
Up the creek. Let's go. Now straighten your tie, Billy. You want to look presentable.
What am I presenting?
You're applying for a loan.
But I just want my quarter back.
You're going to need to pay that debt first.
A debt to pay a debt. Ain't that diminishing returns?
Of course, Billy. It's the American way.
All right, as long as I get my goldfish.
Congratulations, Billy. You've been approved.
Aw, yeah!
At a high-risk subprime rate of 47%.
Aw, come on!
We'll just need your baseball glove as collateral there. And those shoes.
My kicks!
And the shirt off your back.
Cleaver.
Come on now, Billy. Cough it up.
I ain't got nothing.
Billy?
No, not my new goldfish.
You heard me. Cough it up.
All right.
Come on. Thank you, Billy. We'll see you later.
Where you going?
Up in that tower there to smoke cigars with my fat friends.
Well, what do I get?
Bilked.
Well, that's bull.
No, Billy. It's capitalism.
Let's have another song from Jaden LaRue.
So I say a little prayer, and the first thing out my mouth is something about wishing you well. Meanwhile, I'm out in the cold, face pressed to your window, but all you see is the moonlit snow and all the beauty it holds. I've never felt so alone. Oh, now my heart, it just craves a home. I just want someone to hold when the nights get cold. The silent meeting of our souls when the stories get old. And we'll travel the open road we were made, we've made to roam. And we'll thrive in the unknown. But I wanna hear you say that, honey, I'm yours and we are home. You have a wandering eye for the beauty in life. You always follow where it goes. I know your heart is your home, but I've never felt so alone on this dark and dicey road. You make it known all the ways one could grow. I won't let my fears swallow me whole. You inspire a change. I embrace each new day, but how my heart, it just craves a home. I just want someone to hold when the nights get cold. The silent meeting of our souls when the stories get old. And we'll travel the open road we were made, we made to roam. And we'll thrive in the unknown. But I wanna hear you say that, honey, I am yours and we are home.
Information about our musical guest is available on her website, jadenlarue.com. Here she is again with her friend Ryan Gilmore. Ladies and gentlemen, Jaden LaRue.
down the road in a year or two. And out there is the one for me, coming at the time it's meant to be. Tell me, darling, what you see when your eyes fall on me. Somewhere only lovers' eyes can reach, something only lovers' hearts can keep. And all we need is in this room, whole life in an afternoon. But it's so nice just to be here with you and sing about what's coming into view long after you leave. I'll always hold a part of you with me. Love is what we keep. You're the only one who knows how much that means to me, to me. Ooh. How the decades quickly pass, but never feels like looking back. That old house of ours been crumbling, but you're still painted on the walls of me. Long after you leave, I'll always hold a part of you with me. Love is what we keep. You're the only one who knows how much that means to me, to me.
Long Friday, 4:59 p.m. lines winding long over cement tiles inside brown brick buildings and snaking around the ropes that staked out the path all the way up to the wood window teller there, where cash was paper and mothers made a withdrawal for the whole week for food or bills or toys picked by hand in a store made of matter. I'd walk to school down the steep Wheeler Avenue hill there, ledges and hedges for my hand to run and walk and jump on like a little character. I'd make my fingers into a pair of legs, a tiny action hero, left, right, left, along the edge of the bushes, a sidekick off a tree, and he could leap 1,000 times his own body length in the air there, and well, he'd turn into a dog when we landed at my desk at school, you know, sniff around, a thumb and pinky for back legs, and then at recess, you know, when some kid deserved it, he turned into a bird. Year over year, the machines were shrinking, smaller and smaller, and they were speeding up, too, at the same time. And they'd begun to talk to each other over copper phone lines and digital garble. and plastic cards were swiping in teased hair malls, and boys were dreaming of robots to bring them their sodas while they lounged in front of futuristic TVs. Value grew thin and prepared to pop and vanish into bits. A kid can kill a wardrobe in record time between the growing, the playing, and the general snotting. He'd be wearing tatters inside of 6 months. Well, shopping was another level of hell. Dead mall air, mom pulling at your sleeves and collars. I'd give up and I'd climb onto the underwear shelves at the bottom there and catch a couple of Z's while mom was in the aisles, you know, piling up shirts on her arm. And then she'd panic when she couldn't find me and I'd pop up with a pair of jockeys on my head. And mom pulls me up for a fitting, right? And I roll my eyes. All right, here we go. I can deal with a jacket, I guess. Does it fit? She says. I do a little modeling, a little boys wear aisle strut, you know, tuck my hands into the pocket for a cool pose. Wait a second. What's this in the pocket there? I feel something in there. It's got legs, arms, a head that swivels. Yeah. My kid fingers could suss out an action figure down to the genus, species, and TV series with just the touch of the tips. Mork. This is a mork. Yes, Mom, this jacket fits perfectly. A nice fit, good look, a bonus action figure some kid left in the pocket on his own shopping night. Where his loss? It took a boy months of birthday hints and thousands of lawn mows to scrape together enough for an action figure, right? Pocket Mork was free money. Fast zoom in and out on an excited face on a commercial. Awesome! Jump cuts of a speeding car toy. Insert shots of little hands puppeting the hero. Radical! A gruff voice over a guitar lick. And then it's back to the Smurfs. Every Saturday morning commercial break would hawk, you know, branded cereal and take-home character toys. And when the clock struck noon, the fun ran and hid until next week. It got replaced by afternoon preachers and news panel shows and boring golf matches. So slow, the announcers would drift asleep. And that's a hole in one. All right, fine, I don't need the TV. I rounded up all my guys, you know, Wookiees, robots, G.I. Joes, and free Mork, right? And I hopped on my BMX bike down the hill. You cut the wheel left, right? That free-feeling gravity game against the wind down the hill, right? Left, right. Through the stop signs, no D-pads or helmets. It was before anyone cared. When you could send your kid, you know, right off a cliff into the back of a stranger's van, and well, no one batted an eye. I dodged the ice cream trucks and ball hockey nets down all the way to the boardwalk where there was a secret world below. A secret world that no one bigger than 7 or 8 could fit in. You know, the planks, they were right on top of the sand there. But if you were really flat and small, you could shimmy in and you could build a world of sand beneath the strolling feet. Oh, those plots I came up with, they bent genres. There was no network or studio barriers for crossover storylines. No, robots battled cowboys, superheroes joined the army, and the sandscape world got irrigated lake buckets dumped in to drown the bad guys. And then after, I line up all my guys on the edge of the boardwalk there, you know, a little R&R after the big fight, and then I see it. A pair of rotten sneakers come into focus. I look up past the hacked-off jean shorts, up past the sleeveless Jaws shirt, and on up to the rat-tail haircut and the feathered bangs. You know, trouble. He goes, nice figures. I say, yeah, you know, this one was free. He snorts, yeah, right, free. I get them all the time. My dad works at the factory. My little ears prick up. Yeah, you seem cool, he says. You want some figures? Oh, I was hooked, you know, line and sinker. Free figures, you say, yeah? Sure, you just give me all your guys here. I take them to my dad, and he makes a mold, and then, well, I bring you 2 or 3 copies. Ooh, 2 or 3 copies, an army of stormtroopers. I'm sold. Just give them to me now, and then meet me back here next Saturday. Free, free, free. Everything in life is free. My lucky streak was on a roll, on fire. First, my pocket morgue, right, free. And now this perfectly trustworthy 12-year-old is going to hook me up. God bless him and his hard-working father. Free, I handed them over. And there I was, a week later, next Saturday. My bike strewn in the sand at the end of an excited skid where I jumped off and ran to meet him, right? My bucket of water for moats I was going to build, my ships, my cars, all the men, my suspension of disbelief, you know, pending for the epic storylines. And then a faraway look off into the horizon, my eyes. The sun setting on an inevitable hard lesson learned. Nothing is free.
Bound, burning wheels on the tar, to the sand where the memories are. Hours and hours playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
The APS live taping schedule is available online at AmericanParlorSongbook.com. And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. Now, our next guest is a talented comedian. You've seen him as the host of Allen's Design Challenge. His stand-up album, The Sound That Funny Makes, is available now on iTunes and Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Montipar.
Hello. How are we tonight? Good? Great. So when JP told me that this was the theme of tonight's show was money, I was excited because as a stand-up comedian, I am an expert in not having any money at all. There's nobody in this room that's better at not having money than me, guaranteed. And I've been good at it for years, mind you. I'm 39 years old right now, but I'm going to tell you a story about what happened on my 31st birthday. So it was my 31st birthday, the day of my 31st birthday, and I had just finished my shift waiting tables because that's what a comedian's real job is. Until they become an actual comedian. So I was actually going to have a birthday party at Medieval Times because not only am I a comic, I'm also a child. So I was just done with my shift. I went to Bank of America to get some money out, and this was on a very busy street in Los Angeles. And I went to go get money out, and I looked, and I couldn't get money out because I had $12.45 in my account, which was great. Because it was my birthday, and I shouldn't have to buy anything anyway, so I just guilted everyone into buying everything for me, you know? So it was depressing, though, you know? I'm 31 years old. All my other friends have big jobs, making $150,000 doing this, that, and the other. I think I'm living the dream, and really, I'm a waiter. So I was bummed out, and I was going to walk to my car across the street, and my brother calls me. And right before he calls me, I look up. I used to be a really religious person. I haven't prayed in such a long time, but I looked up and I said, God, please give me money. Please have me just fall into money somehow. How am I going to get any money? And I looked to cross the street, and I looked left, and I looked right. No one was coming. No one at all the way down the road, nothing. And I start walking across, and I'm talking to my brother, but I'm not talking to my brother because I'm literally praying, saying again, how am I going to get some money? And then out of nowhere, my hip gets hit by what felt like a building hit me. And the world slowed down. Everything. People say when you're about to die, everything slows down. It was like the Matrix was happening to me. And I got hit in the side with some unbelievable force. It was something I couldn't push up against. And I went sideways in the air. I was parallel to the ground. And I had this thought in my head, and it kept going over and over and over again in slow motion, and the voice kept saying, like this, like this, like this. And in my head, like anybody else would probably think, I thought, oh, I'm gonna die like this. So I'm parallel in the ground in the air. I just got hit by a Jaguar, a huge sports car. It's like a V12 hits me. And I'm parallel to the ground. And then I go, my entire head and shoulder goes completely through the windshield. The person driving the car didn't stop because they were texting on the phone. And they didn't even know they had hit someone until I went through the windshield. And then they jammed the brakes so hard that I flew out of the car again, tumbled on the ground. Magically, I popped up into standing position. It was amazing. I was so proud of myself. I felt like I was in the circus. And I started looking around, going, can you believe what I just did? And what ended up happening was that car was stopped, and I looked over at it, and I had destroyed this car. The hood was ruined. The whole side quarter panel of the car was dented into the tire, and the windshield was completely smashed. And I miraculously had a small scrape on my shoulder. That was it. And I stood up, and the street stopped. Everybody, this is a super busy street with stores and restaurants, everybody, everywhere. And everybody stopped and just started running towards us, towards me and towards the car. And I was thinking, oh my God, okay, now I have to deal with everyone. I got to tell them I'm okay. I think I'm fine. I was checking. I'm okay. And this Armenian guy runs over and he goes, oh my God, bring water. Somebody bring water over here. And I, as I walk to the car, somebody brings some water and I go, thank you very much. And the Armenian guy goes, not for you, for the lady who was driving the car, because she was crying. And he wanted a date. So she's bawling. I'm fine laughing at this Armenian guy who's trying to hit on a woman using this horrible moment to try to sleep his way to the top. I don't know what's happening. And so finally she pulls over and she's crying and crying. I'm like, why? What are you crying for? And she's like, it's sad because I hit you and I'm sad. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And now in my head, I'm thinking to myself, I was jaywalking. So now I'm going to have to pay for this Jaguar that's damaged. And I'm freaking out. And not only am I freaking out, I'm furious at God. I'm so mad. Because not only did he not give me money, I'm going to have to pay thousands of dollars to repair this crappy Jaguar now. So her husband comes, and he has this brilliant idea, which I think is fantastic. He goes, you know what? Let's do this. Let's write a waiver, and we'll say no one is at fault here. And I'm like, wow, I hit the jackpot here. I don't know anything on this car. Fantastic. I pretended to think about it. I was like, that's an interesting proposition. Okay, I'll sign it. So I sign the thing, and I go off on my way. And I call my brother back, and he goes, hey, what happened? And I said, oh, I just got hit by a car. So he comes to pick me up, and the other reason I'm upset is because I really want to go to medieval times. And my brother and my girlfriend are all yelling at me, and my mother is saying, you got to go to the hospital. And I said, you know, no, I got to go to medieval times. It's my birthday. So we go back to my brother's house, and I go online, and I look up internal bleeding, and I figure I don't have that. I don't know why. I just assumed I didn't have it. You can't tell. So I drank a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I went to medieval times. Now we're in medieval times, and it's me and my brother sitting next to me and a bunch of friends, and all of a sudden, we're doing the falconer part of medieval times, where a guy comes out with a falcon, and it flies all around, and it comes back to his wrist, and right before they start doing this, the guy goes over the loudspeaker, for the falcon part of the show, no one stand up because the falcon might attack you. So if you know anything about medieval times, they just serve you chicken on a pewter plate with no silverware or nothing, and you have to literally stuff it in your face like an animal. And my brother is an animal, and he's stuffing it in his face, and the falcon's going all over the place. And all of a sudden, my brother stands up and puts his hands in the air. And I'm going, John, get down, the falcon. And the falcon starts coming at him. And he looks at me like this crazy, with this crazy look in his eye. And I'm like, the falcon's coming, the falcon's coming. And he looks at me again with these eyes bugged out of his head. And I realize, he points to his throat, he's choking on the chicken. So I go behind him and I give him the Heimlich maneuver. And his chicken goes all over the neck of the person behind him. And he lives. And I'm thinking now, what are you trying to do to my parents, God? You almost killed me, and now you're killing my brother at medieval times, the happiest place in the world. So I'm telling my good friend about this whole accident thing and how I yelled, oh, I just want to get some money, and then God hit me with a car, and as a result, I don't like God anymore. And my friend goes, oh, I got hit by a car 3 years ago. I said, oh, yeah, what happened? He goes, it's great. I got $25,000. So I realized God works in mysterious ways, and he takes a lot of forms. You got to pay attention, because sometimes God takes the form of a sad Armenian woman driving a Jaguar. Thank you very much.
Jay Montecar, everybody. How about that? Well, we've got just enough time for one more song from Jaden LaRue.
Sing to me, darling, I know who you are, but remind me. I know who you are.
Sing to me, darling, I know who you are, but remind me. Sing to me, darling, I know who you are, but remind me. Sing to me, darling, I know who you are, but remind me. Sing to me, darling, I know who you are, but remind me.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook and for joining us here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. Thanks to our guests, Jay Montipar, Jaden LaRue. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find
Wendell.
Information about the program
Wendell.
By visiting our website.
Wendell!
Yes, Martha, what is it?
Why is my credit card being declined?
What on earth are you trying to buy in the middle of the night?
It's not the middle of the night in Nigeria.
What are you ordering in Nigeria?
I'm not ordering anything. I'm fleecing some prince.
Oh, no, a Nigerian prince.
Of course, Europe is lousy with them.
Martha, Nigeria is in Africa.
Well, wherever it is, it's full of suckers. All I have to do is pay the transaction fees, and he's going to give me $100,000.
Oh, right.
So if you'd just stop asking questions and hand me your credit card, I can bilk this chump and get on the phone to China.
China?
I'm going to use the money I siphon off of this blue-blooded moron to purchase 100 pounds of rare kimono dragon bone powder.
Wait. What on earth are you going to do with powdered dragon bones?
Eat them, of course.
Of course.
Try to keep up, Wendell. Kimono bones are better than growth hormones.
For what?
That youthful glow.
Oh, it's times like these that I'm thankful you're overdrawn.
All right, enough small talk and make with a credit card. The prince's attaché is waiting.
His attaché?
Well, a prince doesn't make his own phone calls. I've been negotiating with John Van Smithminton.
Sounds authentic.
He's Swiss.
Obviously.
If you would have just lifted the limits on my card, I wouldn't have to bother you.
But you can't be trusted, Martha. You'd spend us out of house and home.
Well, it's my money in the first place.
No, not entirely. Now, my disco chicken account has been quite robust.
That novelty record of yours hasn't brought in a penny in decades.
Oh, it's still quite popular overseas, Martha.
The island nation of Tonga is hardly generating big bucks.
No. It was just certified mango.
Mango.
That's 500 units.
Well, that's a real hot seller.
That's nearly 20% of the population of Tonga.
Big money.
It's also potato in Latvia.
Wendell, as much as I'd love to sit here going over the books on your big hit, I think we can both agree that it is just a drop in the bucket compared to my massive earnings.
You're right this time, Martha. You have taken in a surprising $17 million in your illustrious acting career.
See? Now give me a card and I'll fleece this sucker.
Now, do you know how much you've spent in all those years?
About half.
Try 25 million.
Yes, hello, Mr. Van Smithminton. Tell the prince I'm out. I've got bigger problems.
Crisis averted. Now, good night, Ma.
Whoa, 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 not so fast. It's a little matter of being $8 million in the hole.
No, don't worry, dear.
Don't worry? Well, who's going to pay for my kimono bones?
I'm afraid you'll have to settle for, I don't know, turtle powder.
I'm ruined.
How do you think the turtle feels?
Well, I can't be that poor, Wendell. No, I was born that way, and I'm not going back.
You should have thought of that before you burned through your fortune.
Back in that shack. My tattered dress. Sharing a boiled potato with my sisters. Mother working a double shift at the diner. Oh, all of those terrible men coming around. No, from the moment I stole that dress and won the homecoming, I said I was never going back. No, Wendell, I can't go back. Wendell, please don't make me go back.
There, dear. It's going to be all right.
It's easy for you to say. You're not the one who's going to be dancing for tips.
Oh, don't be melodramatic, Martha. You won't have to start go-go dancing to make ends meet. I've got it covered.
Wendell, I don't think Chip and Dale's is looking for any nonagenarian pianists.
No, I won't be shaking it for tips either.
Well, then what are we going to do?
I am going to let you off the hook, but you have to promise you'll be more responsible.
Oh, I knew it, you beautiful miser. You've squirreled something away.
You promise?
All right, I promise.
You've spent $25 million, yes, but I used my legendary business acumen,
a.k.a. cheapskatery,
acumen, to invest along the way. Now, between the dividends and the disco chicken account, we should be able to avoid dancing for tips.
Oh, thank God. Pass me the phone.
Martha, now you promised.
Just a little kimono.
Martha?
All right, I'll settle for some filler and a Botox session.
Now, deal. Now, let's get some rest, all right?
Don't cheap out on me now, Wendell.
Wait, I thought we had a deal.
Well, you didn't read the fine print.
Oh, no. Did you slip it another diamond tiara clause, you rascal?
No. What I want is priceless.
Okay, I'll bite.
You owe me. Every night, before bed,
yes,
until death do us part,
all right,
a lullaby to rock me to sleep.
Ah, of course, your song.
Yes.
Very well. Put your head on my shoulder now.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.